This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
Okay, I'll do the intro. Here we go. This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. And Broad likes to, have some really awesome people on the show, of course, because we're talking about feminism and women's things and women, obviously. That's important for the show, but also keep local and what's going on in Melbourne. And one of the fantastic things that are happening in Melbourne is there's an organisation that is celebrating 25 years this year, I believe, and I've got the people here to prove it, two of them anyway. I've got Erin Adams, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. And Devin Taylor.
Hello.
Hello. And we're talking about the Women's Circus.
It wasn't around in 1991, but my understanding is that it's been Women's Circus since the get-go.
And, of course, you will know because you are Devin Taylor and you're the executive officer.
Is that executive director.
Director.
Oh, no, it's very official. But
right.
Yes.
What happened to the officer bit? Don't they have that anymore?
Well,
anyway?
It sounds a bit militarised for my taste, to be honest. It's always,
fair enough.
I keep having, ideas of, matriarch or femperor.
Femperor, that's what you said. Really. And Erin, what do you do?
I'm one of many cast members in our upcoming show, The Penelopiad.
Wow.
So, yeah, I do, specifically at the Women's Circus, I do the acro class.
Wow. So, yeah. And what does that involve? Obviously, airborne activities.
Yeah, it's sort of balancing, standing on top of people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, acrobatics, acrobalance, we call it. So, yeah.
Right. So, obviously, you don't have acrophobia. Do you get people who are facing sort of phobias like that to come and try to,
Definitely. I think there's still stuff we're doing that are too high, which is when you stand on top of someone's shoulders. I still get the jitters, even though I've done it quite a lot. But I think that's a really important thing about the classes is kind of facing your fears, but in a really positive and easy way that you're not forced to do anything that you're not happy to do.
Yeah.
But you kind of, when you see other people do it, you're like, oh, maybe I can. There's this little bit of me and give things a go.
It would be a strange circus if you didn't have it.
Yeah,
It would be like the Flat Earth Circus or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably been done, I'm sure.
Well,
yeah. Devin, no?
I have no idea. Flat Earth.
the terra firma circus.
That's
You never leave the ground.
That's a good idea, actually. I like that.
Might have to involve ants, but
grounded.
You can call it grounded.
People that are grounded.
Okay, so yes, so Women's Circus has been going for an awful long time. When did you get involved with it, Devin?
About 3.5 years ago was my first sort of involvement in that. So I came on board as the production manager for their last show, which happened in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when they did a call out for the role of executive director, I applied and came on board.
Cool.
So I've been in this role currently for about 2.5 years.
Right. Okay.
So it's been a massive download of information and lots of stories and lots of women. We're currently sitting at about 200 women in our membership.
Wow.
With about 200 women training each week as well. So,
but
that's just a tip of the iceberg, really. Over 25 years, you've had a lot of women come through the place, either as a participant or as an audience member or as sitting on the board or, so there's and that certainly was something that I've come to realize in the 2.5 years having conversations out in the community. Everyone has some sort of story or memory or some sort of association with this organization, which, is great to hear. And it sort of solidifies this sense that it's an important and very valuable organization.
Well, it's something that's always been there too. I remember when I first came to Melbourne, it was one of the things people said, well, there's Circus Oz and then there's this one. And I was like, what do you mean there's this one? Well, this was a woman's one. I was like, okay, that's a strange way to deliver what it is, but it's an important cultural part of Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of women, early 90s was a radical time in feminist history, and it was a space for women to kind of assert control over and reaffirm control over their bodies. The, you know, the women who came together, it was a very politicized space. It still is. You know, the content of a lot of the creative projects tend to be explicitly political, driven, fundamentally driven by the women who are engaged with the whatever project we're working on. So it's not, I guess, from our organization's perspective, the creative practitioners who are on board are there kind of to nurture and guide the participants and allow them to kind of really have both creative and like physical control over what's going on in the creative process.
Yeah.
No, I hope that's what's happening.
That sounds good. Good. I mean, no, it is. It's like, I mean, when you say you've got that many women every week coming through, all kinds of women, that's incredible. You're 200 or so. That's amazing.
I mean, that's just our internal programs too. So we kind of deliver, the struggle that we have is that the programs that we offer within our training program, which is what it's sort of our core business or our core delivery is this training program. And it's certainly the entry point for a lot of women. You do have to pay to be involved though on the whole. So we do offer, we have a community access program that we use to help subsidize access to our programs. And then we also deliver a lot of social circus workshops
outside
to community
of the,
groups. Yeah. So and they're specific groups that we would really, you know, target and try to work with. I mean, the western suburbs of Melbourne are very diverse, and there's a lot of complex needs over there, and we try to engage with women across those kind of diverse communities.
What sort of things would you be doing, for example, some of those communities, as you know?
Either like a one-off workshop might look like, you know, a lot of play, a lot of fun, a lot of games, a lot of laughter, a bit of trying of a few different circus skills, encouraging people to, there's always a feedback session where we're asking women to kind of reflect on what they did well or what they liked the most, because often that's something that women struggle to affirm. And then we will do sort of longer partnership projects with you know, partners in the West. So across 2014 and 2015, for example, we developed a program working with the ASRC and the Asylum Seeker Project, where we were working with asylum seeker and newly arrived women. It wasn't circus specific, because obviously we're trying to, rather than colonizing and coming in and saying, this is what we think you should work with, it's really trying to provide a bit of a smorgasbord of creative activities for to allow these women to have that time and to connect. We did a project with the deaf community, so that was working closely with Deaf Arts Network and Arts Access and a number of schools, and that was around representation, really, is the key, and organizational development. So that was a mentorship, working with a deaf woman. So she can now go out after a year of working with us. She can work and go out and deliver circus, social circus community workshops to deaf kids or deaf participants, which is really great for the sector. And next year we're going to be hopefully working with a woman with low vision, so we can do the same.
So disabilities are really important.
Well, inclusivity, I think. It's not actually about the people who have a disability. It's about us addressing, you know, organizational staff access points and acknowledging that there's a diversity of experiences, diversity of abilities, and making sure that we can, you know, respond to those. And I think I'm a big fan of representation. Like, if we're going to go out and work with a particular community, it's really nice to be able to have someone who can speak to that experience. I mean, just as an example, we went, and it's a loose example, but it was a really nice surprise. I went and delivered a workshop the other day to a bunch of newly arrived women. And we did an activity where we went around the table or went around the room saying, you know, where are we from? And we jumped each time. And it got to me, and I'm making assumptions, but, you know, I was in this sort of expert role. I present a certain way. I'm a white woman, but I'm not from this country. So I am a migrant. It's a different migrant story, I imagine, than most of these women. But nonetheless, when I said Canada, they all laughed. And suddenly there was like a sort of this change in the space. And that's not the kind of representation I'm talking about. Ideally, you have someone from, you know, but it's it's finding those shared moments that are really important.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, and what happens outside, clearly what people know of. People know of the circus and the shows and that you have women come and participate, but all this other social interactive and these different other platforms that you're doing is vital. Maybe not many people know about as much or as public.
Yeah, well, it's community engaged practice. Yeah. I guess it's around, you know, ensuring that we are reflective of the diverse communities that we exist within and that cultural and creative expression is something that should be available to everyone in the community, not just a particular group of people. and that's difficult, but it's something being hard shouldn't stop you from doing it. In fact, that should drive you even further.
And Erin, and for you, like, this show's coming up, of course, 22nd of November. You excited? And what is it? Your presentation of Margaret Atwood's The Penelope Ad.
Yeah.
That's a big one. You're involved in that?
Yes. Erin? So when they sort of first announced it, I think it was maybe 18 months ago, it wasn't what show we were doing. It was, we're going to do a show. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some creative developments. Come along and it'll be very early stages. See what you think. And so I think that as a start was really inclusive, because if we'd had to audition, I don't think I would have been brave enough to audition, and definitely many of the women in the group probably wouldn't have been involved. So yeah, that first day, I can't remember how many of us were there, probably more than 30 women, and we kind of all chatted through different themes we were interested in. And since then we've come a long way. We obviously worked together with our director Steph to really decide on the text by Margaret Atwood. Many of us obviously had heard of Margaret, but we hadn't read the Penelopiad, so rushed off to the library, read that quickly.
I haven't read that, of course. Most people have done The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of... Yeah.
I'm guilty of not reading enough, so...
Yeah.
So this story is, it's basically a retelling of the Odysseus myth.
Right. Which is female perspective.
From the people, from his wife's perspective, essentially, and the women around him. Mm. So,
it's a great, and it's a short read, so I recommend if anyone hasn't read it to try and get your hands on a copy. And it's also been turned into a play, I think. So we're not doing we're not doing the book or the play. Yep. We've devised our own version using a lot of Margaret Atwood's text. So we're, lots of us are acting and playing the roles of Penelope, and so many people are playing the role of Penelope and the maids, and each class that's run through the circus is taking on a sort of scene as their focus throughout the story. So another thing we've done is an amazing performer and musician, Karen Berg, has come on board to write original music to go with the lyrics that are in the book. So Margaret Atwood's written all these lyrics, and now we've got original songs that we're performing.
Yeah,
so
there's a 30-woman choir.
Yeah.
Does she know about all this?
Yes, we've paid for
rights.
I haven't reached out on Twitter or anything
personal.
Yet.
You should.
She's pretty cool. Send her an invite to the gala night.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's seen her. This is totally, sorry, going off a bit, but A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. You know Margaret Atwood's face appears. She deliberately put her face over the top of Madonna's face in the movie, so you have to watch it again now and
like freeze.
I'm Canadian, so she's high up on my ranks, really. I have a soft spot for her. So
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, great person like that.
So, the show itself is a fairly stripped down experience, so you're not going to be coming and seeing really grandiose lighting, and it's really
bones,
about the women and their bodies and their stories and live music rather than amplified music.
And I think there's a lot of power just having 30 women in a space telling a story all focused together.
Yeah. And why was it why did you specifically choose?
I think I didn't choose it, but as a group we felt it resonated really well with the original sort of start of the circus, which was based on domestic violence. And it's a great story because it's not too depressing and dark. It's kind of got that Margaret Atwood wit and this kind of, I guess Penelope in this book has been dead for 1,000 years. So she can kind of look back with this massive hindsight and have this sort of bitter irony kind of thing about what's happened. But at the same time, it actually ends the way we've done the show in a really hopeful way. So we didn't want to kind of have this dark, dismal show where the audience is just like, oh, and you go home and you just feel depressed. It's actually, there's quite sort of dark darkly comic parts through the start, and obviously some bad stuff happens, but at the end it kind of twists around and it's like now the onus is on us as a community to have a look at what's happening right now in this time and place and what can we do to make things better. So I think it's a really kind of, it's a really appropriate choice for the Women's Circus in that way.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Steph, the artistic director who's been working with these women for the last 18 months, her sort of aesthetics tends to be a very stripped down kind of natural space, but also working with that intersection, like circus as an art form is still new and developing, and it's this sort of intersection of using narrative and form to tell a story. And fundamentally, often circus, I think, is at odds with that sometimes, and not always, and there's a lot of development in that area, but it's sort of this, the intersection of narrative and form is a really interesting space, I think, as well.
Yeah, I'm just blown away by everything that you do. It's incredible. It's really important. Now, for the actual performance for the Penelope Ed, it's not starting until the 22nd, runs to the 27th of November.
Tickets are selling fast. I think the loyalty factor and the sheer number of women who've come through the place. So I would recommend to anyone, if you want to come and see.
Will you extend the season if it's that?
Well, no, because I don't think it can work that way. Yeah. I mean, the thing about our organization, the performance that we make, is that these are also women who have very vital, full lives outside of this. This is something that they're artists, but they do this in their free time.
It's extracurricular, that always amazes me at rehearsals when you suddenly find out what people do and then and you're like, oh, wow, you work full-time for this amazing organisation. Yeah. And we've got just such a diverse group of people.
Yeah, the diversity in this group is, I think, particularly obvious in the age ranges. So we've got women who are sort of early 20s through.
There's people twice as old as me and twice as fit as me.
Yeah.
And I find it just like so inspiring. I'm like, if I can be anything like you when I'm like 65.
Yeah. And we've got women who, Erin's, so this is her first experience.
Yeah. Wow.
And
then I'm a newbie.
Got two women who have been, were in the original 1991 group and
awesome.
Have pretty much been in every show since. So I can recommend getting tickets. We're also doing an exhibition. So as part of our celebration, we're doing I loosely call it a retrospective exhibition at Footscray Community Arts Centre that opens on the 17th of November and runs through to the 10th of December. The 17th is sort of like a party. So anyone, everyone's welcome. It's free.
And where's the exhibition?
At Footscray Community Arts Centre, and that's at 6 o'clock. And it's really also an opportunity to reconnect, because one of the things that I'm sure, and I was saying Joy must have experienced this as well, but over 25 years you
lose touch with people.
Lose touch with people, moving from paper to computers, different people in the office. We're a small not-for-profit arts organization, you know what I mean? Yeah, like we're under-resourced.
We don't have like a running alumni program.
But we want to stay in touch with those people, because they're the people who have really made this organization what it is. It's not been one person, it's been all the women who have come through the place.
Are you getting people, say for example there might be someone listening now but they live in they live in Perth or they live somewhere else, they're hearing this, how can they get in touch with you to send any best wishes or any message to?
Well, there's sort of three ways I would say. One would be obviously sign up to our newsletter and follow us on Facebook and send us messages that way, because then you can kind of stay in the loop. But we also, on our membership page on our website, we have an alumni or alumna membership that you can fill out, which is free.
Yep.
And it's just mostly about kind of getting your details so we can stay in touch with
you.
Yeah,
yeah, cool.
So that's probably the easiest way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but that and then with that, there's a digital archive project that we've been working on.
Oh, good.
So that'll go live on the 17th. It's a work in progress, because there have literally been thousands of photographs too. And we're asking for people to help with that, contribute to
it. So how can people, if they are in Melbourne or they're going to be in Melbourne, how can they help with that side?
It's an online project.
It's online.
It'll go online. It'll get launched on the 17th and it'll be connected to our website. And, it's in theory going to work that you can send us stuff to upload on your behalf, or you can upload things.
Yep.
Also tell us if people's names and if we get the dates wrong and things like that. And then I guess the third thing that we're doing to celebrate the 25 year is, as part of the season of the Penelope Ad, the Friday night is like the extra special. Well, not extra special. It's just
It is extra special.
It is extra special.
You get awesome food and drink. It's, and it's to raise money for all the
it's
programs
It's a gala fundraiser.
Okay.
To help support all those programs that we were talking about before. For 2017, it costs money to do all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And really, the more money we can raise, the more women we can be working with out in the community and things like that. So with that, you get dinner, drinks, pre-show entertainment from this awesome band called Chaos Magnet. They're three amazing ladies. Post Q&A with the cast, and you get to see
and
the show.
And what date is that?
That's Friday the 25th.
The 25th.
Yeah. Okay. So if you feel like it's, you know, it's probably no more money than you would spend on like two espresso martinis in the city or something. but it would go a long way for us. So
So that's a very special celebration, and it will help raise funds much needed. So check that out. Where can people go to find out that specifically and book online?
Yeah, so that's all on the website. Yep. Yeah.
So womenscircus.org.au, everything's there. You can book.
Facebook's a great space for
Facebook's
us as well.
Good too. Yeah. Okay. So what's the address for Facebook?
I think just it's the Women's Circus.
Should only
just
be
search
one,
Women's
maybe?
Yeah, yeah, it's only
on Facebook. Yeah. That's cool. Well, congratulations on making it this far, 25 years.
I know, it's been amazing.
You. Here's to another 25.
Oh, yeah. Crossed, eh?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonia.
So, Devon Taylor, any messages, because we're a feminist show on Broad, what can you say just briefly to women who want to, you know, step outside and maybe join the circus?
Come along and try. I mean, this is, Erin spoke about it the other day. We do a come and try day every quarter.
Called
where you can
test drive.
Yeah, or test drive. Yeah. And it's basically, that'll be one. Our holiday program goes live on the 15th of November.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the 21st of January, but don't quote me on that. But anyway, there's a 3-hour low cost. You just come along and try it out, see if you like it, and then sign up to a class. Come along, volunteer.
Okay. Cool. Volunteers are always good. Yeah. Keep the thing going, keep everything going. And Erin, any messages there too? I mean, you're a newbie, so...
Yeah, I would probably second what Devon said, that when I first joined the circus, it was just for a test drive, so it was really low commitment, but I wasn't sure what to expect, and I thought there was going to be all these professionals wearing their awesome active wear matching lycra, and you're like, what is this going to be? And I went along, and it just blew my mind that it wasn't that at all. There was this diverse range of people, all different ages, all different shapes and sizes, and... everyone got to be involved in a way that they felt sort of comfortable. So, there was all different skill levels were accommodated even from that very first day. So, if you were kind of quite uncomfortable in your body, you could do more basic levels, but they could still take you if you were someone that had maybe done a lot of dance in the past or something. They could go, do you want to try this? And you'd go, hell yeah, I do want to try that.
Cool.
And even after I did that, they run an awesome program which is a weekly class called New Women. And so it's specifically designed for people who are just starting and don't really know exactly what they want to do yet. And it was kind of – they also do one called All Sorts, I think. And, it's – you get to basically – do teasers of all the different aspects of circus each week, and it was amazing. Like after each week, like one week we'd do trapeze, one week we'd do walking on stilts, one week we'd do juggling, then we'd do mini trampolines and somersaults and all different stuff. And each week I'd go home and I'd be like, I did all this stuff, and you can't sleep because you're kind of so excited by these new things.
That's right.
But it's really good because you get to kind of you get to see what the thing that really resonates with you, and then you can go, okay, I thought I'd like trapeze, but then when I did it, it's actually not my thing. So maybe I'm going to go and join the acro class because that was my favorite thing out of all the stuff that we tried.
Cool.
So
juggling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But not on a trapeze. I couldn't juggle.
Not at the same time. Not yet.
One thing at a time.
Wow. Now there's a challenge. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us here on Broad, both of you, Devon and Erin. Thank you. Good luck with the Women's Circus, Penelope Ad. Yes, we'll put that on the Facebook page for Broad and you can find out more. There's so much going on. There's so much diversity and plenty of great things to celebrate. 25 years of a wonderful institution for Melbourne and the world. and hearing people say, look, I'm going to join the circus. That's really cool in 2016.
Yeah.
You don't hear about that very often. Mm. And Devin, you've pretty much run away with the circus.
Pretty much. I threatened to leave my job and go and be anarchic after the election results the other day.
Yes,
and my son was like, you cannot leave your job. You have the best job in the world. And I was like, you're right, I do. Yes, it's a real
election.
Privilege.
The election is the elephant, isn't it?
Mm. We won't talk about it. It's okay. I'll start crying on air.
Yeah, no worries. It's been like that. But all power to both of you wonderful women. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
The 1986 women's mural from Bombonera to barbed wire on Smith Street was defaced early this year. Responding to the community outcry following its destruction, the Women's Mural Documentation Project is capturing your reactions to this defacement and to the 30-year history of this significant feminist mural. Danielle and Sally from the Women's Art Register want to hear from you. Get in touch, thewomensmuralproject@gmail.com. A community message supported by Broad and Joy 94.9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.